We are just about wrapping up our What Difference Does It Make sermon series. And the idea behind it has been that somehow the fact that Jesus is alive and the tomb is empty, that it should make some difference in our lives. And so this has been for us a journey through the book of James over the last number of weeks. And we've looked at some different ways in which James suggests that it should make a difference in our lives. Everything from just the way that we talk to other people, the words that we use, the tone, the way we treat others, the way we think about others, some different things like that. That we have to be more than simply hearers of the word, that we also have to do what it says. Last week we spent some time talking about faith and deeds and the ways in which the idea that we are not saved by good works, but rather we are saved for good works. And so our salvation comes in and through the work of Christ, but that then should compel us to do good things, right? So James kind of talks about the importance of a faith needing action to go with it. If your faith is not producing action or deeds in your life, then James would suggest that your faith is in fact dead. It's about as black and white as he says it. And so the challenge then is, what difference does it look like and what difference does it make and some of those different things. Now, our family moved into our house about 2.5, it'll be 3 years, I think, right? Is that 3 years in November? Is that right? I'm pretty sure I just saw my wife go, oh my gosh. So it's really fun when she doesn't know what I'm going to say. And so we moved in about not quite three years ago, and there was really not a whole lot of landscaping that had been done to speak of. Now, I know we know part of the situation of the individual that lived there before and had an older parent that lived with her, and so I understand and get all of that kind of things. But there was just really no landscaping at all. There were a couple of giant Rose of Sharon's that were made this weird kind of wall in the backyard, and that was about it. And so we did this massive backyard project it started about a year ago, almost to the day, kind of just redoing our backyard. And it was a giant pain in everything. And so, it involved drainage, it involved giant mounds of dirt and moving plants and things like that. And so one of the things, and last year, again, I just made it, just barely survived what I call the lawn shaming season. Last year I was lawn shamed in a couple of ways. This year again, 2 days. It was two different lawn companies literally in 2 days back to back came to my house and were like, hey, you should probably do something. And I was like, shut up, jerks. We are, all right. So I did actually break down and we've got somebody that comes and fertilizes and try to do some things like that. And so part of this year, my focus has been like, okay, I grew up and I guess maybe it's my dad's fault. I like grass. Like I like to have grass that is green and is like a beautiful lush carpet that you could just fall asleep on, right? Like I don't know, something about having some grass I think is sort of like my version of living the American dream. We didn't really have grass. We had like a lot of dandelions that were really beautiful for a day. And so in this backyard project happened and we were doing all this stuff, moving dirt, putting down patio, just all sorts of dumb stuff. And it meant that there was a long time when we didn't have any grass. It was just dirt. And so I had to find a way to wait in the dirt because I wanted grass so badly. And if you know, have had any experience in trying to grow grass, at least for my liking, it takes forever, it feels like. And so we had this backyard, we had this giant just dirt, and I did all of the things, right, where you get it all, you put down new soil, and you grade it, and all that's fine, and you throw seed down, and then you throw straw down, and then you just have to wait. And wait and wait and wait. And it seemed like I just waited months and months before there was even like this little tiny bits of grass. And then you have to wait until it gets to be sort of tall grass. You're mowing around. Have you ever had that where you've done this in your yard, where you've actually had to, you mow like the other parts of your yard, but you mow around the parts where you're trying to grow because you have to let it sort of really take root and grow. And so then it looks like giant patches of like random tall grass and weeds. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about waiting in the dirt. And so James chapter 5 is where we're going to find ourselves this morning. And we're going to look at just five verses. James chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 7 through 11. One of the things that I believe would make a difference or should make a difference in your life or mine and mine if we are choosing to follow Christ is what it looks like to wade in the dirt. What does it look like, and James is going to tell us, what does it look like to demonstrate, to live into patience? Now, one of the passages that we spent some time with earlier through the book of James was James giving us this formula of, when he talks about the importance of the words that we use, and I believe Jesus gives us better words, is being quick to, do you remember this? He says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, which is, in a way, goes perfectly with the idea of patience. It takes patience to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And so this morning we're going to take a little bit of time and look at this. James chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading from verses 7 through 11, reading from the NIV this morning. James writes and he says, be patient then, my brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and full of mercy. Now, I think it's important for us to get a picture of, what these words look like. So you're going to see, Gabe, if you would, throw that definition of patience there up on the screen. So when James is talking about patience, and when he uses this word, this is some of the definition behind this Greek word that James is using when he writes this. And I really like the idea of the picture of a long spirit. To be of long spirit and not to lose heart. And you can see there are some other things that he talks about. The idea of bearing the offenses of, or even patiently and bravely enduring misfortunes, troubles, trials, which is one of the other things that James tells us in his letter, the difference that it could make or it should make in your life and mine if we are claiming to follow Christ is the way in which we persevere in the face of trials, tests, and temptations. And so here, James is telling us that patience is this sort of long, what I'm going to call, and we'll talk about more later, unpack, this long view of something. To be long of spirit. Not to lose heart. Now, he also uses the word perseverance, and you'll see here in a second that definition. The idea is to stay, is to remain, not to run away, not to recede or to fade, but rather to stay and not lose heart. So when you take patience and you put it with perseverance, right, that they become this really powerful combination of ways in which we can remain and not lose heart. Where we can see and understand the long view of whatever season we might find ourselves in, and if we can have patience in that season, because we're taking a long view of it, that we then might also persevere, that we're going to stay there, we're going to abide. I like that picture of abiding, that we're going to, we're not going to run away. We're not going to lose heart, because what we're looking at is something longer than what we find ourselves right in the midst of. Right, when we're waiting in the dirt, and you can think of whatever that dirt might be in your life. Perhaps some of you right now are kind of find yourselves waiting in the dirt of life. But if we can have patience and persevere even in the dirt, because we know that the long view of it is that eventually the grass is going to grow. Eventually, this pile of dirt, this what seems like just nothingness of dirt, the long view, I hope, is going to produce this lush green grass that then my kids and I can run around and play soccer and roll around in. But there's going to take patience to have that long view of. So there's a couple things that I think James would show us or that we would see. The first thing is that patience is not passive. And we live in a culture where we want stuff now. And so patience, maybe not for you, but for me, patience is a difficult thing for me, is a difficult discipline for me to practice. And you can ask Ty, you can ask my family or my friends, when it comes around time of any time that for any reason, a birthday or Christmas or any reason or excuse that I might have to try to get a gift from somebody, that chances are I've already gone and gotten the thing that I want. Because practicing the discipline of patience is sometimes a struggle for me. And we live in a culture that has kind of conditioned me, and I'm trying to push back against this, that if I want something, I just go get it. If I want something and I have the means, then I just go get it. Amazon, beautiful thing. I mean, how exciting is it that we live in one of the cities where Prime Now is a thing? And if you don't know what that is, you need to find out, because it will change your life, right? For the worse, I don't. But that, so patience then becomes, you know, some of you are really, and this is an example where some of you are really great at practicing patience, the discipline of patience, and you can have you can take the long view of a particular purchase. Well, I'm going to wait for my wife does this to the point where it almost drives me bananas. Well, there's this thing that I think is cool, or we perhaps even we might want or need, she stalks this thing because she's able to practice this discipline of patience, so that then next thing I know, she's like, I mean, she'll tell me about something that she thinks is cool or, you know, wants or could be something that could be valuable for us as a family. And then months later, she'll be like, hey, look. And I'm like, yeah, I thought that was already done. Like, I thought you told me about that months ago. She's like, yeah, but I was able to practice the discipline of patience and now find it at half the cost or whatever the case might be. Whereas I'm like, oh, just go get it. Like, Prime Now, right? On your phone, you put it in and they deliver it to your door, sometimes within an hour. Life-changing. So patience. But the thing that I think James is telling us and help us to see is that patience is not passive. Sometimes when we find ourselves waiting in the dirt of life, we feel like we're sort of stuck in this way where we just have to practice patience as this, it's this passive thing. It's this sort of, there's no action to it. And so I'm just have to be resolved to just sit and just patience. And where I think that James would actually say that patience is rather not even this passive thing, but there's action as a part of our practice of patience. That as we're waiting in the dirt of whatever the dirt is in your life, that as you're waiting there, patience becomes quite opposite of passive, but an active thing that you and I are trying to live into and practice. And he gives us an example of it when he says, not only is patience not passive, but it involves action, and part of that action is serving others. The ways in which you and I, and I would say and suggest, the difference it should make in your life and mine if we're choosing to follow Jesus, is that the ways in which we practice patience is that it's an active thing. You can still be patient and actively serving others. You can still practice patience and not grumble against another. Those are active ways that we can be practicing patience, which I believe James even suggests for us. One of the other things that I think James is talking about is that patience is exercised and developed between the reins. Now, you can read through Scripture and see how rain is oftentimes seen as a significant blessing, especially throughout the Old Testament, but into the New Testament as well. You see where individuals are praying in earnest for rain. And do you know why? Well, that's because the majority of individuals in Bible times depended upon basic farming for survival. Some of them were farmers by trade. Others were farmers by survival. We had to produce our own food in order to survive, which meant that we needed, because they were living in a pretty arid, dry region of the world, we needed the rains. And so we prayed and we prayed for the rains to come. And they had to practice patience. And I like the idea that James would suggest to us that perhaps that not only is patience, it's exercise, but it's developed in between the rains. That there are times when I've got the seed down, I've got the straw, and it's sitting there, and I'm just waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm having to be patient for the grass to do its thing. And then it rains, and I feel like somehow it's like, yes, we're doing something, you know, like, or I'm watering it. Maybe it hasn't rained for some time, and so I throw the sprinkler out there, and I'm watering, and I'm doing something, right? I feel like, okay, I'm trying to be active in getting this grass to show up and to grow. And then you stop watering, or then it stops raining, and then I find myself having to be patient again as I wade in the dirt. And it becomes this opportunity to not only exercise, but to develop patience in between the rains. And perhaps you can think of a season in your life right now where you find yourself in between the rains. When you think of Scripture and seeing rain as the blessing, now we've gotten enough rain over the last month or so where it was starting to, for my yard at least, it was starting to borderline on curse as opposed to blessing. But if you look at Scripture and see that rain is oftentimes seen as a blessing, and you can think of perhaps in your own life right now, you're in this season of, I felt like there was some blessing, and now the rain has passed, and now I'm just sitting in the dirt. And I'm just waiting in the dirt for something to happen. And perhaps I don't even know what. And I believe that that becomes for you and for me the opportunity to exercise and develop patience. Now, James would also suggest that regardless of whatever our circumstances are, whatever season we are in life, whether it's the blessing of the rainy season or sometimes the challenge and the trial of the dry season, and we find ourselves just waiting in the dirt of life, we find ourselves just sitting there in the dirt, that regardless of where we are in those circumstances, James would suggest and encourage us that we would stay strong in our faith. I believe that it's the solid faith that we can try to have is what allows us to, if we remember that definition of patience, to be of long spirit, the long view of waiting in the dirt, that if we can be, if we can have that sort of solid faith that would keep us, help us stay strong and keep the long view of, I'm waiting in the dirt right now, but something's coming. Just like the farmer who plants its plants and then is at the mercy of the weather and has to just sit and wait. It's the hope of our faith that allows us to have the long view as we sit in the dirt. And I think James would remind us that. Now, it's important to also, I think, be reminded that God's way is seldom quick, but it is always complete. God's way is seldom quick, but it is always complete. And it seems rare that God ever moves at the speed that I want him to in my life, that he brings, it's seldom I feel like that he moves the seasons of blessing or of rain, if we want to use that, keep with that picture, of moving the season of rain. It doesn't come as quickly as I think it should or as I want it to, but yet God's way is always complete. And so it's the faith that James would challenge us to have that then allows us to have that long view as we sit and wait in the dirt. Because we trust and know that God's timing and God's ways are always complete, maybe seldom quick. I have learned that it is not a quick process to do something as simple as grow grass. And of course, I've toyed with the ideas like, well, I could just buy like the rolls of sod, throw those suckers down, and be like, ha-ha, grass. And sometimes that works, and we've all seen neighbors that have tried it. Maybe you've tried it, and sometimes it doesn't. So I opted for the way of throwing the seed down in the straw and the work of watering and waiting. Now, the last thing I think that James would have us consider, and perhaps one of the differences it might make in your life and mine if we choose to follow Jesus, as it relates to this idea of patience, is that it is not the result of understanding. And I want you to hear this with hope, and I want you to be encouraged by this. That understanding does not equal patience. Patience does not equal understanding. I think that's the beauty of patience, and that as we wait in the dirt, I don't understand why it's taking so long for these stinking grass seeds to just grow. I don't understand, as you sit and wait in the dirt of life and you find yourself in the dirt of in between jobs or careers or relationships or your faith, you would even say, Matt, right now this morning, I feel like my relationship with God is just in the dirt. And I'm trying to be persistent and persevere in the midst of that, and it just is dry and I'm just waiting in the dirt. I don't understand it. That's okay. Because patience isn't the result of understanding. Some of us are aware of the story of Job in the Old Testament and the ways in which Job, and if you're not, you go back and read that story. It'll look like a book in your Old Testament called Job. And it is work, right? I mean, patience is work. There's a lot that I don't understand as I read the story of Job. There's a lot that I don't understand when I hear your stories and the things that are happening in your life. There's a lot that's happened in my life that I don't understand. And yet patience doesn't have to be, and not even have to be, isn't tied to understanding. There are a lot of times when in our lives we find ourselves enduring pain that is beyond explanation. And we find ourselves waiting in the dirt of pain and grief and loss and doubt. And we're confused. And we don't understand it. And even in the midst of that kind of dirt, patience can still be a thing that we might know and actively practice. It's important, I think, to also be reminded that God does not preserve from suffering, but in suffering. He's not going to keep us from suffering, but will keep us up, will support us in and through suffering. Do I think God causes suffering? I think that's another sermon for another day, but no. But he will hold us up in the midst of the dirt that we find ourselves sitting in and waiting in. And so it's our faith which gives us the hope, which allows us to see that there's something ahead. It helps us have the long view of the dirt that we find ourselves in. It's the hope and the faith that there's something more. Something's coming. I don't know what it is. I don't understand it, but I can still have patience in the midst of perhaps not even understanding what is to come. And then I think James would suggest that as we try to live in and practice this act of patience, that the faith that we have in the future hope allows us to live in a joy even in the midst of waiting in the dirt. Patience, it's not passive. It's exercised and developed in between the reins. It's not the result of understanding, but rather helps us take a long view of what's to come. I think maybe perhaps I'll leave you with this example. For me, I think one of the simplest examples of trying to practice the discipline of patience again comes back to the way in which I interact with my children. And in the moment, I want to respond in this way or that way. Child, get your bottom back in your bed, or I will tap your bottom. I want to respond that way. Sometimes a lot. But if the times when I can just in that moment take the long view, that's why I really like the description and the definition of patience as being long of spirit, taking the long view of the situation in which I'm in with one of my children when I want to react in some way. And by God's grace alone, if I'm able to practice patience in that moment and take the long view of the situation, I can see that there's something better on the other side of it if I don't react in the way that I would initially want to react. Right? If I want to kind of do a little tap on the bottom or whatever it is, whatever way in which you might want to react, somebody makes some comment to you, something happens at work, something happens in a relationship, whatever the case is, in that moment and you want to react, and if we can take the long view of whatever's in front of us by practicing patience, perhaps even forcing us to wade in the dirt, trusting that what's on the other side of it really will be better. That there's hope that grass is going to grow even in the midst of the dirt. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks above all that you are patient with us. Because there are plenty of times when we chase after this thing or that thing. We go in our own direction. We want to do our own thing. When we just will straight up ignore your words, your spirit, your leading, and go after what we want. Lord, we confess that we are very impatient with you, with ourselves, with each other. And yet you are always so graciously patient with us. Lord, we pray that this might be one of the differences it might make in our lives as we try to follow you. And we confess that we're also not always very good at that. And yet you are patient. Lord, that as we try to follow you, help us to be people who are patient. Lord, help us to see that patience does not mean that we have to be passive. But rather that it takes strength and it takes bravery to practice patience. And Lord, you know that some of us this morning are sitting in the dirt. We're just waiting here in the dirt and we don't know what's next. We don't know where you are. We don't know where we're going. Lord, help us to have this patience that we might have hope in the long view. That in the midst of the dirt, something is growing. Even if we don't see it or understand it. That we can also know and practice patience. Lord, help us to be patient people. That we might model it for others. That it might help us to be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to get upset, slow to become bitter or frustrated. We're thankful that you meet us even in the dirt and promise to be there with us.